You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Welcome to another episode of A Change in Attitude here on Chairshot Radio, where we always remind you, always use your head. I am one third of your tag team trifecta of hosts today. I am Ori. Along with me on this ride is Mags and Tanner. Mags, how are you this evening?
This evening, right now for us.
Yeah, it's morning for you.
I'm doing really well, trying to stomach this horrific whiskey that I bought on Tanner's say-so.
What? No. Okay, first off, listen, I already gave you no guidance. Second, just man up and drink the whiskey. It's not that bad.
Tell us how you really feel this fine evening, Tanner.
I was better until Mags accused me of some bullshit. No, I'm
so
doing
much
well.
It was great while it lasted.
We're all too sweet here, so yeah.
There we go. Well, it's this morning, afternoon, evening, where whatever time you happen to be listening, we are going to be looking at the July 1st, 1996 episode of Monday Night Raw. If you're watching in Peacock app, it is season 4, episode 26. And right out the gate, started with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, along with Jim Cornette, and a person that you probably recognize, but not under the name that you recognize, Leif Cassidy, as we better know him, Al Snow, which took me a hot second, but I was like, okay. So this was a decent match. It was a long match, around 18 minutes. Tanner, what were your thoughts?
Yeah. So obviously Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels have a great deal of history together, former rockers. And again, Vince McMahon opens the show. He puts over Shawn in a very, very big way.
Oh my God, does he?
Dude, this is the most excited I've ever heard Vince on an episode of anything ever. I don't know. Maybe he had a great day. I don't know what his deal was. But he put over Shawn Michaels in a big way in this match. Shawn and Marty are in the ring. Very intense stare down. I was glad for Shawn that there wasn't a large body of water near the arena because of how
bowling alley
or bowling alley.
Oh man.
But yeah, intense matchup. And like you put it, Ori, this match went almost half the show. Almost half of this entire episode of Raw was devoted to this match. Great selling by both men. You can tell that they have a lot of good chemistry together. This is definitely before the severe downturn in Marty's career. So it's good to see him in a positive light here on this episode. And a really well put together match.
I completely agree. And I have to say, you know, it's nice to look back at these old matches and see Sean and see him moving well. You know, we're so used to seeing him as he is now. And if I'm not mistaken, he had a rod put in his back at one point. So he doesn't really bend at the back. He only bends at the hips now. And so to see him move like this was very, very interesting for me. Mags, what are your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I've got a lot of similar thoughts as Tanner had. It's like I said, this was a long match, especially when these Raws are like 45 minutes without commercials. To have the opening match be almost half the time was a big risk. And I think for me, this paid off. I think this was a good way to start an episode of Raw. It was the kind of match that was very classic as well. It had a lot of kind of like old school kind of wrestling moves with backslides, but it still kind of had the new edge that Sean and Marty were good at with the half line stuff. I enjoyed Al Snow / Leif Cassidy. How young did that guy look? He just didn't look like the rugged Al Snow that we're all used to. But I enjoyed his little interludes into the match, getting involved. I still don't get the point of Jose Lothario that much. I know he's the famous trainer of Shawn Michaels, but I don't see what he really brings to the show. I think that Cornette had a quiet time in this match, but yeah, I thought the match was a really fun kind of mix of old school wrestling, but with the newer style that WWE WWF was trying to push there, and it. I don't think anybody come out of this match looking bad as well. I think, obviously, we know Marty Jannetty's been out of the company for a while because of personal issues. He's had issues with Sean in kayfabe and in real life. But I think both really know how to bring it when it comes to a wrestling match. Sean, obviously, looking like the star that he is as world champion, but he didn't. It didn't look like a squash match or a burial of Marty Jannetty. So for me, I thought this was a really good way to start the Raw. And then the rest of the show had to happen, didn't it?
Yes, that is correct. But before we get to the rest of the show, of course, you know, you minorly touched on it. Leif, Al, whatever, we know who he is. He came in with the attack, Cornette jumps in, and then, of course, Jose Lothario, while he may not have served a giant, you know, purpose, but he hit Cornette with that nice right hand, and that was just satisfying to me. I don't know why. I don't know. You know I'm not Cornette's biggest fan. But yeah, so overall, I agree. I think it was a really good match. And if you've been listening for the first three full episodes, you know each one of us has a little thing that we're introducing, a little segment, our own personal segment. And for mine this week, I happened to watch this episode not only by myself, but with my husband and my 15-year-old. My husband was very much into WWF and WCW. My 15-year-old watched a little of the early 2010s and such, because he's, you know, was born at the end of it. And so he's familiar with a lot of these guys and has watched some present day. And so feelings with my 15-year-old and his thoughts after this match, he said it was better than current products overall, including WWE and AEW, because he has watched some of that. Ooh. And so that's pretty high praise coming from, and I have to tell you, my 15-year-old, he is a huge cynic of everything, and he's a giant troll. So to find that he actually liked and enjoyed this match, you know, kind of impressed me. So yeah, so we'll have some extra commentary from my 15-year-old throughout the show.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling?
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. All right, so after that, we get a flashback to the old WWF superstars that happened on the weekend, the angle with Sonny and Phineas, I guess kind of wrapping that up, but at the same time still building, it seems like. Sonny's begging Phineas to say those three little words, and he admits he loves her, and she says, let me show you how much I love you, and smacks him one right on the kisser. Smoking guns come in and attack Phineas, followed by Hillbilly Jim and Henry, coming in and attacking the smoking guns. And they corner Sonny and get her in a corner and slopped her with a bucket of hog slop. I don't know how to feel about all of this personally.
Goodness.
I'm just gonna throw it out to whoever wants to go first.
So I mean, it goes along the same. I'm having trouble like trying to formulate what I want to say. Like it feels like Sunny was doing more of her great heel work that we talked about last week, which is awesome. She played a very good heel. Obviously the run in by the smoking guns there, with the beat down, and then the rest of the hillbilly family comes in and makes the save. It's wrestling.
The flopping of Sonny.
That's where we're gonna have a little bit of an issue. I mean, it's not like super unusual in the modern sense, because I mean we've seen women covered in all sorts of foul liquids as recent as 5 years ago, maybe even sooner than that. But it is one of those things that has faded away because it's not great. It's not appealing. It's not socially correct in most senses to exploit or to, do that to a woman. That to me, it's just so weird seeing that now. What's even weirder is how excited Vince McMahon got, because he's doing the commentary narrative over it. And he's like, I'll try my best. Oh, yeah, look at the slop. Yeah, look at the big chunks of slop coming out of her hair. Ah. He was on something on this show, but he was super, like, down for the slop in the hair. And he's like, oh, the chunks. Look at the chunks. And you're like, dude, seriously? Like, what the hell?
Wow.
I don't know what's better, the angle or your Vince impersonation.
Oh, look at the slop.
Oh, that's amazing.
What can I say to top that? I mean, Tanner's absolutely nailed it. I thought that like last week, Sonny was the star of this angle. For someone so young to have the charisma and the ring presence that she does is absolutely unreal. The way she suckered in Phineas, had him crying, and then the beat down. Yeah, it made sense because it was like you said already, it was kind of ending Sonny's involvement with the Phineas, but then also kind of moving the feud with the smoking guns along. The slot bit, I mean, you can tell it was 1996, can't you? With the slow-mo cam and the low-down view and the chunks.
Chunks.
It was very cringy. It was very, very cringy.
Yes.
And this was typical McMahon. If he's not waxing lyrical about Shawn Michaels, he's excited about a scantily clad blonde female. What can you say?
Yeah. And that was something that my 15-year-old picked up on. He was like, you know, compared to what we have now, this is less refined. And there's, believe it or not, my 15-year-old male is like, it's too much boobs, too much focus on the boobs with the camera shot. And I'm like, are you really complaining? You're a 15-year-old boy. He's like, actually, I kind of am. And I was like, okay, is this a sign of good parenting? I'll take it, you know?
Yes.
So, but yeah, but I get what he's...
Man when he's 18.
Yeah, right? So, all right. So from there, we've got Janko and commentary, and we have Mankind versus the dumpster Duke Drossy? Droz?
Duke Drossy, yeah.
Droz, okay. So, and man... I have lots of it. Okay, so the match for me in and of itself was okay. The thing that got me was King constantly trashing Jake on commentary.
It was horrible.
It really was.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even pay attention to what was going on in the match just because everything that King was saying to Jake and ew, oh gosh.
And this is actually Duke Dross's last match in WWF. So for him to go out whilst King is absolutely slating Jake Roberts is, I think it's a little bit disrespectful because whilst he had a terrible gimmick, who wants to be a garbage collector as a gimmick? He was actually quite a decent wrestler.
Yeah.
Quite agile for a big guy. And obviously he was in this match to be squashed by Mankind. Mankind just coming off the win against Taker, going into a feud against Jake Roberts. He was there to play a part. But to be disrespected by just the match not even having any attention paid to it, and it was all about how King could have jabs at Jake Roberts, I thought was... Yeah, it was very distasteful, and it almost sounded real. And I felt that Jake got flustered a lot of the time in what he was saying because some of the things were hitting home really, really hard. I don't know whether they planned for that or whether it was just go off the cuff and see if you can push each other's buttons. But Jake felt really affected by some of the stuff that Jerry was saying, and I felt, even though it was like 25 years ago, I felt really bad for him because he had a horrific bringing up. He had lots and lots of demons in his early wrestling career. But he did try his best to combat them demons, and luckily we've still got him around now, and he's doing good things in AEW. But yeah, some of the stuff that Jerry was saying, I mean, it was horrific, absolutely horrific.
Yeah, it was really below the belt. It really was. And you know, I know there was not too long ago, maybe within the last year or two, that whole angle where they went after Jeff Hardy and talking about his past demons and this, that, and the other. But this seemed even, I don't know, this is, and you guys tell me your feelings on this. When they start crossing that line between reality and kayfabe, you know, and start bringing in the more real aspects of people's lives, I don't know why, but it bothers me.
I would say it depends, kind of like what Megs was talking about. It depends on how close to the bone it is, right? I mean, we could talk about like the CM Punk pipe bomb promo, for example, which there was a lot of reality in what he was saying,
right?
But you know, a lot of it wasn't like deeply personal like stuff, right? This was like berating him about his alcohol, like King berating Jake about his alcoholism, which is a serious problem. And a lot of the stuff he said went way past the line.
And it continued even after the match, you know, talking about, you know, Jake's already left for Canada because he saw a billboard outside that said "Drink Canada Dry."
And the whole stuff about he was happy to get a DUI because it meant he didn't have to drive, and he could drink instead. The stuff where he was saying the alcohol in his breath and dyed his hair and stuff like that. Yeah, it was just awful, awful stuff. And I'm along the same lines as you or Ed. I don't mind reality being involved in wrestling. I think it makes you appreciate the characters more when they can put a little bit of themselves into it and then turn the dial all the way up. But when you're using somebody's very, very strong demons, and this is the same issue I had with the Sheamus and Jeff Hardy storyline, these are demons that you will constantly fight for the rest of your life. You may be able to keep them at bay for years and years, but they are always there haunting you, and them as fuel, but not even for a storyline, just to rib on Jake whilst he's meant to be on commentary. I thought it was incredibly crass.
Yeah. And even in going back to my 15-year-old, he thought the match overall was interesting, but it was hard for him to care about it because there was so much focus on Jake and King. And he even said, you know, if we're going to have a match, the focus should be on the match. You know, it did kind of feel like it could potentially be a build towards Jake versus King later on down the road, you know, but the focus still was supposed to be building Jake versus Mankind. And I really felt like overall it took away from the match. And then, of course, afterwards, Jake attacks King, and then Mankind comes after Jake, hits him with the mandible claw, and leaves him laying at ringside. So definitely not a high point of the show whatsoever. I think we can all agree on that. All right. Moving on, we have Goldust and Marlena versus Mark Mero and Sable. Steve Austin on commentary. Lip is still busted and swollen all get out. We had some Marlena stalking Sable, giving her some winks and whatnot. We on commentary, we got some early shades of Vince versus Stone Cold, which I thought was really cool. I will say for me, I appreciated the camera work that we have now versus what we had then, because they started talking about Marlena eyeballing Sable and winking at her and licking her lips. And we got some of that after the commercial break. But before that, it was like, oh, she's walking over to Sable. And we're like, where? You know? Yeah. And so it's like, if you're going to talk about something, you kind of need to show it. And so, Mags, what did you think about this match overall?
Yeah, it was a long, long long match. and every time you thought that the action was picking up, they slowed it back down again. And it was really, really frustrating me. I think the saving grace was Austin on commentary. He still wasn't quite the Austin that we all ended up knowing and loving, but you could see he was definitely growing in confidence week on week, the way he was calling to slap Vince and calling him son. He continued a little bit of the Jake ribbing, which I thought was a little bit unneeded. But the weird thing in this match was the Marlena stuff. I mean, I know you've said a couple of times, Ori, about you don't get the point of Marlena. And I kind of agree. It's literally just because she was married to Dustin. But the things that she was doing, like the licking of a cigar, going over, and it just felt weird. But the in-ring stuff, when they were actually picking up the pace, it was really good. Could have easily competed against the first match for match of the night for me, but it was the slowing down with the chin locks all the time. Every time the pace picked up, it was back to the chin locks or back to an arm bar, and it was really, really frustrating. The Goldust getting the finish, again, seemed like it came out of nowhere when Mark Mirror was absolutely whooping his ass. But obviously, Goldust was the bigger star back then. He was moving on to the big feud with The Undertaker. And Mark Mirror was getting to the point where he was going to transition into becoming the boxer gimmick that he had. It was plodding, very, very plodding. The thing that I enjoyed more of this segment was actually the advertisement that they did just before this match for the hotline, where they were saying, why is Ultimate Warrior in the doghouse? And it was actually because his dad had just died and he wanted time off for the funeral, and Vince told him he couldn't have it. But this match was not good.
No, and the whole thing with Marlena and the cigar and the close up, like that was definitely not some PG stuff. Like mm-hmm. I was like, oh,
she was licking it and
twirling it between her lips, and I'm like, no, I feel uncomfortable.
I was actually watching it with Mrs. Maggs, and she was like, "What is she? Is she giving that cigar a blowjob?" I'm like,
"Thank you." But let me ask you this:
this was cringy.
This was 96, right? Mm-hmm. So Clinton was still in office, was he not? Or had just come out of office and had all of that with the...
This was pre-Lewinsky. This would have been pre-Lewinsky. So but
maybe Billy got some ideas. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knew Bill Clinton was a wrestling fan?
Hey, you know... He was from Arkansas. I mean, it's a big wrestling state.
I feel like I've completely thrown you off, Tanner.
we could talk about 90s politics. That's fine.
No. I don't even want to talk about today's politics. No, thank you.
Perfect. I see where you guys are coming from, but I'll play devil's advocate just for the heck of it. We are going to see some far more gratuitous sexually explicit things probably going forward on a lot of these Raws. What they're doing is simply very obviously sexually suggestive here, but that was kind of the whole Goldust and Marlena thing, is like, you didn't know he had I won't even say air. It was just a cloud of ambiguity that surrounded Goldust. And with her, it kind of made things even more confusing, because you're like, oh, well, you know, they're obviously together somehow, and she's doing these very explicit kind of things over in the corner. It's really proto attitude era with how, I guess, suggestive that particular gesture was. As far as the match goes, I mean, the match was just a slog to get through. It was a rough time to get through that match. the Sable and Marlena stuff did confuse me quite a bit, because it was like they're not even like you're not even close to each other, like, or I can't even see what's going on. So, you know, I didn't understand. But yeah, weirdly enough, the cigar did seem to be the highlight, if I can call it that, I guess, or notable moment perhaps of the match. Is like, oh, that, huh, that happened. Okay.
Yeah. It definitely sticks out in your mind, whether you want it to or not. And right. Per the 15-year-old, well, we got the Attitude Adjustment Tour, commercial right in the middle of it, and his thoughts on the commercial, he was like, this screams 90s, and I can feel myself de-aging just watching it, and I wasn't even born in the 90s. I'm like, yeah. And he, and as far as the match went, he was like, it was all right. There's so many, literally his words, homoerotic undertones.
Yes.
And it was just odd. So yeah, you can't disagree there. But I mean, that, you know, going back to what you said, Tanner, it was the mid 90s. This is the jumping off point. We're going to see much worse. And it was kind of, you know, Marlena and Goldust whole gimmick. That's, you know, are they not? Are they messing with people's heads, you know, just to get a win, that kind of thing. So, I mean, but even at the time, I mean, I enjoyed Goldust for what he was. I thought it was interesting, but I still just, the whole Marlena thing, it doesn't completely fit for me.
I can definitely see how if you weren't expecting to see something like that, you'd be like, oh my God, like what's going on here? You know, but it's just like, there's so many worse things that we're about to see. I'm just like, oh my God.
I'm counting on it, sadly.
Prepare yourself for it, though.
Yes.
Like, this is on cable? I thought this was, like, for a second, I thought we were on Skinamax. What happened?
Oh, yeah, the slop. That was all,
oh, God.
That was all said, though. The highlight of this was Austin on commentary. I think there was a part of his of him when he said that he'd won the King of the Ring recently, and he'd beat everybody in the WWF by proxy, except for Davey and Shawn Michaels, who were in the title match. He said, but they know I could beat them anyway. This was the start of the cocky anti-hero Austin. So at least that was a highlight. We get a little bit of kind of growth of his character. But yeah, this we could have done without this match.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to basically the end of the, and I think it's kind of weird that this is like, quote unquote, the end of the show, because we had that one long, I mean, the whole match in and of itself wasn't 18 minutes, but from start of show to end of full segment was 18 minutes. And so to have that much of the show, and I think we've, or at least myself, starting, you know, watching WWE in 99, early 2000s, you know, I've gotten spoiled on 2 and 3 hour shows where it's like 49 minutes. This is it. It seems really weird. And so, I don't know. I don't know how to process that's the end. It feels like there should be so much more. So final thoughts on the show overall. Go ahead, Max.
I was going to say it soon bumps up in time, so we'll get to. I think they go to 90 minutes and then go to 2 hours soon. So, the opening match superb. I think that's a match that could stand up today in wrestling, but the rest of the card it was woeful. It was really, we could have missed this out altogether and we would probably still be in the same place in terms of storylines. And one thing that really stands out about watching this show, especially when the fact that we watched the previous show last week, is you can tell that they're recording these in blocks because you had the same audience as we had for last week's show, the same row of about 5 or 6 guys with a Burger King hats on. So yeah, that's it kind of takes you out of the reality of it, I suppose. I do like the fact that we're getting Ultimate Warrior against Owen Hart next week. We've got a little promo for that, and that is also Ultimate Warrior's last match in WWF, so that'll be fun. Knowing that he was in the doghouse, if you paid your $1.49 and asked your parents' permission. But yeah, this was not a good show.
I just want to know if Mags actually paid the $1.49 to get that information this week.
Yeah, it did say on the network that this number is no longer active.
Yeah, oh. My son asked about that, and he's like, "What would happen if I called it now?" Because they're like, even though all of that's covered up, they're telling you what the number is. I'm like, it would either go somewhere strange, or it would just say it's not in service. And so then I had to explain,
you get Jim Ross going, The Ultimate Warrior is in the doghouse. Find out why.
Of course, then I had to explain
my barbecue sauce.
Oh, God.
Right. Then I had to explain 8675309 and why all of the phone numbers in TVs and movies start with 555. So he got a full education this episode, if nothing else.
That's good.
Yeah. So what are your final thoughts on this, Tanner?
It was a one match. It was a one match show. I mean, if Marty and Sean really, really put on a great match, I wouldn't go as far as saying it was as good as their match that they had. Sean had with the British Bulldog. I think that's still the best match that we've seen thus far in our series here. But with that being said, still a very, very, you know, super good match for a Monday Night Raw. I took up about half the episode. Yeah, I mean, I would say that's the highlight. That's the high point for me, is that the opening match.
I cannot disagree. And then final thoughts with my boy. He said this was better than current, of course. He said he does prefer the 2010s era of wrestling better, mainly because they had more money at the time. It was higher quality. I mean, he was scoffing at the guardrails. He was like, "Oh, the old school guardrails." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what we had at that point."
I love it, though.
You know, and we didn't have, and I like that Ring of Honor still uses them, really and surely. I think it makes it interesting. But he said it made him more emotionally invested overall, that he enjoyed this more, and that he said, watching what we have now, current era, is like watching a middle school production of Hamlet. That it's just, it's not like, this is to him, this is much better. Now is just not so much. And I'm like, I didn't think I was raising the next Jim Cornette. I have concerns. I mean, I get where he's coming
if
from.
If he asks for a tennis racket for his birthday, start to worry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I definitely will. Ooh. So, because you guys know I'm not the biggest fan of Cornette. Like, I appreciate him for the history that he has. I think he's an amazing wrestling historian. But some of his takes on modern wrestling, the fact that he refuses to let it evolve, just, it irks me. Mm-hmm. It irks me so bad. So, all right. That's it. Yeah, I'm ready for our episodes to be longer, guys. I really am. Yeah. I cherish these moments with you.
It is coming, Mom. It is coming. Yes. So next week's episode is the 8th of July, 1996. And it's going to be headlined with Ultimate Warrior against Owen Hart. So we've got that gem to look forward to.
That's right. So, Mags, tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs.
Okay, so you can find me usually drinking terribly recommended whiskies at DJ Kirby. I have content all over the show, many of them with this fine gentleman right here. But, yeah, you can find my content on Chairshot. You can find it on Shooting the Sports Station. You can find it on Visionaries Global Media.
And Tanner, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at TexasGentleman_ on Twitter. Or you can also hit me up on our main account for Radio Tackers, which is RadioTekkers. We do a weekly alternate commentary for Premier League football. So definitely check that out if you are a Premier League football fan.
The international football, not the American stuff, to clarify.
So, yeah, the actual footy.
The football that actually uses a foot and a ball.
Yeah. Hey, it uses a foot sometimes.
That is true.
All right. And I am Ori. You can find me on Twitter at ORIONA75. That's Oriona75. You can also catch me on Twitch at ORIONA7, typically Monday and Friday nights, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Mags, we do have a Twitter, do we not? For a change in attitude.
It is at ACIA, that's a Change in Attitude podcast.
That's right. So make sure you hit us up on there. Tell us your thoughts and feelings. Tell us where we went wrong, where we went right, and what you're looking for forward to.
We went wrong in watching this episode.
Yeah. Right. But it was a necessary evil. It was a necessary evil that we had to slog through. So catch us next week. Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch us always on the Chairshot Radio Network, where all your wonderful podcasts can be found. And don't forget to always use your head. Have a good week, you guys. Bye.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.